Well, good morning, River Church.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
Wonderful.
I think my favorite, I love that song so much. One of my favorite parts of that song is where it just says, the winds and waves still know his name. That's it, man. Like what that's speaking to is that creation still understands who's in charge. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is still the Alpha and Omega. He speaks over this creation. It is still his. He owns it. He's in charge. He's sovereign over all of it. And we trust in that. Amen? Amen. We trust in his sovereignty. Amen. Speaking of God's sovereignty, anybody get lost on your way to church today because of some bike riders? I heard several complaints coming in today. You're like, those bike riders almost got ran over this morning on my way to church, right? Which I'm glad that you want to be here, but please don't harm anyone in order to be here, okay? Counterproductive, if you know what I'm saying, right? Hey, if you're new here with us today, welcome to the family. We're glad you're here. And we do say welcome to the family because, as we talked about a lot last week, we do believe that the church body is a family. And so, hey, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you came to worship with us today. Our hope ultimately for you is that you have a great time. You feel right at home, and you experience the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords while you're here. Amen? That's it. That's the whole purpose. That's why we do this. If it's not about that, what are we even doing? Amen? So we're glad that you're here with us today. We have been, as a church family, going through the book of Luke for the last couple weeks, right? Just a few weeks. Last week, we were in the first half of chapter 17, where Jesus was teaching and preaching a few things, and we talked about that. Well, now we're going to be on the back half of 17 today, and what we're going to see is Jesus is now, he's moving away from kind of teaching a little bit. Now he's going to be headed back on the road to Jerusalem. So where we're picking up is Jesus is back on the road to Jerusalem. And I mentioned that because we may think of it just as a side note where Luke's about to tell us Jesus is headed to Jerusalem, but it's not a side note because Luke is actually, this is going to be the third time in a row that he mentions Jesus is going to Jerusalem. You know why he keeps mentioning it? Because it's in Jerusalem, where Jesus is headed, that he's going to be beaten, tortured, and murdered on a cross. It's in Jerusalem where he's going to head to his death. And so Luke keeps reminding us because Jesus is headed to this place intentionally. It's not an accident that he's going to Jerusalem. It's not like he's not showing up and is surprised that he's in Jerusalem. He's headed to Jerusalem intentionally to fulfill his mission on earth, that we might have salvation. Amen? But what's interesting, especially today, is that as he's on the way to Jerusalem, Luke keeps having to tell us, yeah, he's back on the road to Jerusalem, because he keeps stopping and almost doing these like side mission type things where he's still teaching, he's still preaching, he's still healing, he's still moving. And why do I bring that up? Because even though Jesus is on purpose for a purpose, even though he's got his mission in front of him and he's got his mind set on where he's headed, people still matter to Jesus. And so as he goes on his road to his death and ultimate resurrection, that's all I'd be thinking about. Anybody else? Like, if that's where I'm going, my mind is consumed with that. I'm thinking about that. Like, I ain't thinking about nothing else. Like, you need some help? Get out of my way, right? I'm going to do this thing. I'm like that with, like, dumb things. Like, walk into put the laundry in the laundry machine. The kids are like, Dad, I need some water. I'm like, get out of the way. I got laundry, right? I mean, Kate, that's how Katie is, not me. We talk about it, right? Right. Right. We get so focused, but not Jesus. He's got a mission, but people still matter. Why? Because people were his mission, right? Salvation was his mission. So we're going to see that today. We're going to pick up Luke 17, starting in verse 11. It says, while traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And just as we open up, just in these first few verses, there's so much for us. And you're like, you're stopping already? It's like three verses in. I'm stopping already, right? Because there's so much for us just in these first few verses, right? Like one, you see these lepers come up that they're going to encounter Jesus. And right here, we're already encountering two points of incredible tension in the passage. Just in those first three verses, there's 2 points of incredible tension. Number one, Jesus says lepers, 10 lepers came up to him and stood at a distance asking for help. Why is that a point of tension? Well, because in this society, and if you know much about it, lepers are absolute outcasts. Lepers are absolute outcasts. You say, why? Well, leprosy is a skin disease, and it's not just any skin disease. It's not like you got a couple pimples, okay? Leprosy is a skin disease that's terrible. It's awful. It involved having sores all over your body. And again, since it's the 9:30, I can be a little bit more graphic. Oozing sores, like nice and beautiful, like things like that, right? Like limbs would start to fall off. Like you had it for a long time. Your nose might fall off. Your fingers might fall off. Sounds like fun. Anybody excited about leprosy today? Are we excited about leprosy in the house, right? And so what would happen is if you contract leprosy, you're basically kicked out of society. So you contract it, you're kicked out of the town, you're kicked out of the community, and you're forced to live in what they called leper camps, which is why these 10 lepers were hanging out together, because they're the only people they were allowed to hang out with. They weren't like, let's start a club, right? It was, these are the only people they're allowed to be around. And so they're in these lepers camps, they're traveling around, and in fact, they had rules about lepers, about what they had to do when they encountered someone who wasn't a leper. And so one of those rules is you couldn't get close to them. There was a certain amount of distance you had to keep from them, which is why the Bible says they stood at a distance, because they're not allowed to get close to Jesus. And secondly, could you imagine this? If you're about to encounter anybody, you've got to shout out, unclean, unclean. Stay unclean, right? And so you're walking through the town trying to make some friends. It's hard to make friends when you're yelling, get away from me, I'm dirty. Get away from me, I might infect you. Stay away, I'm dangerous. And so our first point of tension is Jesus encounters upon these 10 men, these 10 lepers who were dirty, unclean, kicked out of society, should have never even been around him, and yet they're bold enough and brave enough to approach him. Second point of tension already in the passage, we're going to find out later at the end of the passage, and Luke sneaks it in for a reason. I'll tell you why later. But these lepers weren't just lepers, they were Samaritans. You say, why is that a point of tension? Because Jewish people, who many of whom are going to be reading this, the disciples who most are Jewish, watching this, hate Samaritans. You say, why do they hate Samaritans? It goes back long into their history, but essentially there was a war, there were some battles, they got separated. For time's sake, I'm not going to go into all of it, but essentially they were Jewish people who kind of got separated and started to marry people who weren't Jewish people. And so now they're, and this sounds crazy, but now they weren't pure Jewish people, and the Jewish people would refer to them as half-breeds. And at the end of the day, it's prejudice and racism and wrong, amen? But that's how the Jewish people treated Samaritans. That's how they looked at them, as half-breeds, not good enough, dirty Samaritans. So now the 2 points of tension. One, they're lepers who aren't supposed to be around Jesus. They're Samaritans who the Jewish people looked down on and were prejudiced against. And yet we're going to see Jesus doesn't care. Amen? As a matter of fact, you see over and over the way Jesus treats not just lepers, but the Samaritans, that he loves them, he cares for them, he's kind for them. We see it in the woman at the well. We see it in the story of the Good Samaritan. We see it in this story, right? Why? Because Jesus is going to make it clear that what matters to him is not where you're from, not what you've got going on right now, not what you're experiencing, not how you've messed up, not the mistakes you've made, not what other people think about you. What matters to him is that he loves you, he cares for you, he calls you, he wants to save you, he wants to change your life. Amen? The rest of it you can forget about. All Jesus cares about is you. Forget the baggage, forget whatever else you bring with you. He said, we can deal with that. I want you because I love you. Amen? That's the Jesus that we're talking about this morning. But regardless, that's the tension. Right? That's the tension. That's what the disciples, as they see these lepers and Samaritans walk up to them, this is what they're feeling. This is what they're experiencing. This is what anybody reading this story is going to think. But Jesus, they're lepers. They're Samaritans. How? Why? Jesus says, because I love them. I don't care what you think about them. I'm the one that created them. Amen? So here it is. Verse 12. These lepers come up to him and it says, let me read it again. I'm going to go back. Yeah, verse 12. As he entered the village, 10 men with leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Here's how he responds. They come to him asking for help. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he told them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Is that an interesting response to anybody else besides me? Like, because oftentimes in the Bible, when somebody comes to Jesus for help, he heals them on the spot or performs some miracle right there. Here he says, go see the priests, right? Like, they come to him for healing, and he doesn't do it right there. He says, go there, and maybe that's where you'll find healing, right? You say, why does he say that? Why is it they come to him for help, they come to him for healing, and he says, go show yourself to the priest? Well, once again, cultural context is so important, because in this society, if you were a leper and you had contracted leprosy, what's crazy is on occasion, it did get healed. On occasion, you did recover from leprosy. And so what would happen if you thought that you had recovered from leprosy, if you thought you had been healed from leprosy, what you would do is you would go and show yourself to the priest. And then the priest would examine you. He would look at your body. He would look at your limbs. He would check you out. And the priest would make a call on whether or not you were clean. The priest would make a call on whether or not you were healed and whether or not you were allowed to re-enter back into society, go back to your family, go back to your jobs, go back to your life. So these 10 lepers come up to Jesus and they say, help us, have mercy on us. And he says, go show yourself to the priest. Which is great because it's the priest who declares you clean, except there's one problem. Anybody know the problem? They're still lepers, right? What help is this going to be? They're going to go to the priest, and the priest is just going to go, why are you here? What's wrong with you, right? Like that, like you got to think, like if we're in this situation, and I'm one of the lepers, and sometimes I feel like a leper, right? Anybody else, right? Sometimes you feel like one, right? And if this is you, and you come to Jesus for help, and he's like, go show yourself to the priest, I'm going to be like, Jesus, have you lost your mind? Jesus, what's wrong with you? Amen? Right? Sometimes in life, we go to Jesus for help, and it seems like he says, go show yourself to the priest. And we're like, what are you doing, man? I'm still dirty. I'm still sick. You still have to do something before I can go to the priest. Like, I'm thinking I would be confused. Anybody else? I'm thinking that these poor lepers, as they're hearing Jesus say this to them, they got to be confused, right? I was confused this week. Let me tell you why. My wife, Katie, she went to, it was like a women's Bible study, and they had a speaker there at the Bible study, and she came back, and she was like, Mike, I got to tell you this joke. I was like, okay. So me and Katie, you know, we both have good sense of humor. She's like, I got to tell you this joke. So she starts to tell me this joke, and I'll tell you right now, when she was done with this joke, I was confused. So I'm going to tell you all the joke today. This is a little thing between me and Katie. I'm going to tell you all the joke today, and if y'all get the joke, y'all tell me, okay? Here it is. Well, one day there's this man, he's wanting to build a house, okay? This man needed 999 bricks to build his house. So he goes to this man who was a construction guy, happened to sell bricks. So he goes to the guy and he says, I need 999 bricks. The guy goes, this is fantastic because I sell bricks in packs of 1,000. The guy says, I don't need 1,000 bricks. I need 999 bricks. He says, but all I can do is sell them packs of 1,000. You want me to take one brick out? That's insane. That's dumb. That's stupid. I'll sell you a pack of 1,000 bricks. The guy says, fine, I'll take the pack of 1,000 bricks. And he takes the 1,000 bricks. He's so angry that he had to buy the 1,000 bricks instead of the 999 bricks. He takes one of the bricks and he chucks it up in the air. I didn't get it either. Anybody? Right? Y'all look as confused as I was, right? So thank you. Y'all tell Katie later her joke was confusing. Thank you. Right? That's what I'm thinking these guys are like. They're going, they came to Jesus asking for healing. He's talking about bricks. And they're like, what is going on? What is this? Jesus says, go see the priests. They came for healing. He says, go see the priest. Just spilled myself. Instead of giving them healing on the spot, instead of proclaiming healing over them on the spot, notice Jesus doesn't even promise them healing. Instead, he gives them something to do. It's interesting, isn't it? Instead of promising them healing, proclaiming healing, performing healing, he gives them something to do. He gives them a command to obey. That's interesting to me. It's interesting to me. But what happens next? Why does he give them a command to obey? Look at what happens next. You know the story. You probably read ahead when it was up on the screen, so you already know what's going to happen. You cheaters. All right, here we go. Verse 14. Sorry. When he saw them, he told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, they might have been confused, but they obeyed. Might have been confused, but they obeyed. Anybody ever been there? We might have been confused, but we still obeyed. And while they were going, they were cleansed. Not before, not after, during obedience. While they were going, they were cleansed. Let me tell you another joke, since I'm on a roll today. One day there is this plane, going for a plane ride, and there is this lady sitting on there with her dog, Fifi. Anybody ever brought a dog on a plane before? Some weird times that we're living in, right? And this lady with her dog, Fifi, is one of these little poofy dogs, you know, little frilly dogs, you know, kind of like my dog, Charlie. If you've ever seen Charlie, you know why that's a joke. And as she's sitting here on the plane with little dog, Fifi, and guy's sitting next to her smoking a cigar. Could you believe this? Guy's smoking a cigar on a plane. Like, this must have been, like, back a long time ago when you could smoke cigars on a plane. So they're sitting there smoking the cigar, and her little dog, Fifi, starting to cough because he's blowing smoke in the dog's face. Can you believe this guy blowing smoke in the dog's face? So she looks over, and she says, "Excuse me, sir, your cigar smoke is making my poor dog, Fifi, cough." And the guy is so offended that she asked him to put the cigar out that he pulls out a second cigar. So now this dude's just smoking cigars in the plane, and she's so angry, this lady's so mad that he's smoking two cigars now and making Fifi cough. She opens up the window. Have you ever been in a plane where you can roll down the window? Apparently this one you can. She rolls out the window, takes the cigars out of this dude's mouth, and chucks them out the window. It's a bold lady. This guy now is so mad that she did this. He grabs Fifi and chucks Fifi out the window. Now, that's a funny joke, right? And you look out the plane, and there's Fifi, and she's hanging on with her paws, the dear life, on the end of the plane, and she's just, "No, no, 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 no." And you know what's going on with Fifi? She's got something in her mouth that's keeping her on the plane. You know what it was? A brick. Boom! There you go. Now, that's how you tell a joke right there. Oh, man. Sometimes things don't make sense until later. Amen? Sometimes things don't make sense until later. Sometimes Jesus gives a command. We came for healing. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Sometimes things don't make sense until we obey. Sometimes things don't make sense until the end of the story. We've got to learn as disciples to be obedient even if we don't understand the end results. Amen? We've got to learn to be obedient even if we don't understand the end result. The lepers asked for healing. Jesus gives them a command to obey. It doesn't make sense. By the way, Katie really did tell me those jokes. It was hilarious, right? Jesus gives them a command to obey. They don't understand it because they still have leprosy, but they weren't going to understand it until they obeyed. Jesus made them trust and take a step of faith first. So often in life, that leaves us feeling a little bit confused, doesn't it? Because, man, we got something that we need Jesus to do for us. We've got something going on in life, and we need Jesus to move, and we don't understand why it's happening, and we're coming to God, and we're asking him for help, and sometimes instead of helping us, he gives us something to do. Sometimes instead of just making it crystal clear and just open up the doors and open up the windows so we can see perfectly what's going to happen, God gives us something to do or some kind of obedience that we must walk through. Jesus asks us to trust him. He gives us the command to be obedient and take a step to do something that in the moment may not make perfect sense, but if we would just choose faith and be obedient, maybe we would find healing on the other end. Amen? So how do we do that? Well, one is being obedient to the Holy Spirit. It's coming and talking to God and asking him to help us and guide us and lead us and being obedient to what he says. And then what we do when he speaks to us is we judge everything he says through the scriptures. Amen? Because sometimes somebody's come to me and said, man, God's telling me to do this. And I'll tell you right now, it ain't nothing to do with God, right? They say, it's the Holy Spirit. And it sure ain't holy and it ain't got nothing to do with anything spiritual. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes when we think God's talking to us, we have to judge it through the lens of the scriptures because the Holy Spirit will never lead us to do anything that is counter to his scriptures. Amen? Amen, right? So we judge it through that. And more than that, I would say this, the more time you spend with God, the more you know his voice. The more time you spend with God, the more you're going to know his voice. And so when we come to him, asking him for help to guide us, to lead us, the more you know him, the more time you spend with him, the more clearly you're going to understand the direction. And ultimately, here's the point. We come to Jesus needing him. He takes mercy on us and is faithful to us. Sometimes that requires an act of faith from us that may not always seem to make sense in the moment, but later on it will. So they come to Jesus and ask him for help. He sends them to the priest. And during obedience, they find healing. But that's not even the end of the story. Let's check it out. Verse 15. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell down at his feet, thanking him, and this is where we learn that they were Samaritans, and he was a Samaritan. Luke put that in there on purpose because he wants the Jewish people reading this to understand the error in their thinking. And then Jesus said, I love Jesus, man, he's a little sarcastic here, Jesus. Then Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except the foreigner? And he told him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you. Could you imagine that moment that these Samaritans or these lepers were experiencing? They're walking with this. They're outcasts from society. They meet Jesus. He says, go show yourself to the priest. They obey. And as they obey, they're healed and cleansed. And like literally just, it's a skin disease. And so you're walking and you're literally watching the healing take place on your body. Like this has got to be the most incredible moment. Jesus has just given them back everything. He's given them back their families that they were outcast from. He's given them back their communities that they were outcast from. He's given them back their jobs that they're not allowed to work anymore. And I know some of you hate your jobs, but man, if you're outcast from society and you're not allowed to work, you're not allowed to be around anybody, you're like, I can't wait to get back to that job, right? Just to be back into some sense of normalcy. Jesus gives them back their lives. And yet there's only one. Only one. Who turns back and praises him. He's given them back everything that the disease has taken from them. And only one returns with gratitude. The worst part of it all is that as I was reading this story, as I was reading this passage, and I was thinking about being obedient and asking God to help me and move in my life and be faithful to me personally, right? You always read it, make it about yourself. I was thinking about this, and the question I had to ask is, I wonder how often this is me, where God moves, or God provides, or God opens a door for me, something I've prayed for, something we've prayed for, something we've asked God to do, and he calls us to obedience, and we obey, and then he delivers in the most beautiful of ways, and then we just move on. We got what we needed, and we move on. So many ways that God is faithful and good and kind and generous. And sometimes it's not even a big thing, right? Sometimes it's the small ways he provides for us. Like it's a home to live in, it's a car to drive, it's money for food, it's a family that loves us. It's all the things that were taken away from these guys that Jesus just gave back to them. It's air in our lungs. It's one more day. It's all the blessings that we have that are God's faithfulness to us that I get so used to, that we get so used to, and we take them for granted until we don't have them anymore. And we forget to thank him. We forget to worship him. That's why, man, we should begin every day just with some time thanking the Lord and praising God for how good he is to us. Just start your day. That's why we pray before food sometimes, right? Why do we pray? Because it's some kind of ritual? No, because we're literally thanking God for providing sustenance for our bodies. It's connecting the mundane stuff that we get used to with the goodness of God. It's connecting the everyday things that we don't even realize. Like these lepers, I tell you what, they knew every good gift that God had given them, right? Because they'd had it all taken away from them, right? It's connecting the mundane stuff that we get used to with the goodness and the grace of God's goodness and provision, his blessing, his answers to our prayers. And like the one, what that should do for us is that should cause a response of praise and thanksgiving and adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. It's why this Sunday worship is so important for us, right? Not the preaching, although I hope you're blessed by it. Not the jokes, apparently, right? Oh, y'all thought that was funny. But it's because we as people, as followers of Jesus, we set aside an hour at the beginning of each week to come together and we proclaim God's goodness together as we worship and sing praise to him. We proclaim his goodness. We adore him in thanksgiving. We refocus our hearts on him. We preach the Bible and his word so that we can be reminded of the commands that he gave us that we follow, right? We even come and give him an offering of worship and thanksgiving, honoring him with our tithes and first fruits, right? All of it is worship and praise and refocusing our hearts on him. It's putting rhythms of thanksgiving into our lives. It's the morning, spending time with Jesus. It's praying before a meal. It's worshiping together. It's putting rhythms in our lives where we come back to God and we thank him. We come back to him and we worship him and we praise him and we see his goodness in our lives. Amen? Because I'll tell you right now, reflecting on how God has blessed me and been good to me and been faithful to me, I don't want to be the nine. I want to be the one. Amen? I don't want to be the nine. I want to be the one constantly adoring Jesus with praise, seeing and being thankful for what God has done in my life. It said, most didn't return to worship. But one did. I want to be like the one. Amen. I want our church to be like the one. And look at what he did. Look back at verse 15. It says, but one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned. And this is how he returned. Look at this. With a loud voice, gave glory to God, fell down at his feet, thanking him. What is this? He returned with a loud voice that's unashamed. He didn't care who heard him, man. He didn't care. He was unashamed, right? Giving glory to God. What is that? That's worshiping Jesus for what he's done. He fell face down in front of him. What is that? It's submission. He's submitting himself to Jesus, and he thanked him. He's giving thanksgiving to Jesus. That is a man who understood what the goodness of God is. That's who I want to be. I want to be bold enough to come to Jesus with my need. He was bold. They came. They weren't supposed to be around Jesus. They came. They stood at the appropriate distance, but they came to Jesus and begged him for healing. I want our church to be men and women who are bold enough to come to Jesus in our need. Amen? I want to be brave enough to be obedient even when I don't understand. Brave enough to be obedient even when I don't understand. And I want to be a man, and I want our church to be a place where we see the goodness of God when he moves in our life. We're anticipating it. We're expecting it. We're looking for it. And then when it happens, we are responding to the goodness of God, worshiping him unashamed, in humility, with worship and thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen? That's who we want to be. That's who we want to be. And that's what we want this church to be. And then finally, something beautiful happens at the end. Check this out. Verse 17. Jesus said, were 10 not cleansed? Where are the nine? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And look at verse 19. This is so beautiful to me. And he told him, get up, and go on your way. Your faith has saved you. Who is he putting his faith in? Jesus. Get up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you. He was putting his faith in Jesus. Now here's why I think this is so beautiful to me. The 10 come to Jesus and they ask for healing and they ask him to move. And what does Jesus say? Who in society are the people who can pronounce and announce that the lepers are now clean and able to reenter society? Who was it? It was the priest. So Jesus says, go to the priest, let them proclaim that you are clean. Go to the priest, let them proclaim that you are clean. What does the Bible call Jesus? Our high priest. The one goes, he sees that he's healed, he sees that he's cleansed, and instead of going to the earthly priest, he comes back to the high priest, and he comes and he falls face down before Jesus, understanding what Jesus has just done for him, and Jesus says, your faith has healed you, get up and go. The only one who could pronounce him clean in body and soul just did so. Praise Jesus' name. Amen. You should clap for that. This man didn't just get healed physically, he just got saved. Praise God. Amen. Stand with me, church. I love this man. Jesus is our high priest, the Bible says. And just like in the beginning, you had these men who were, by society standards, dirty and unclean and unworthy. And yet at the end, they all find healing in some capacity, and one of them got healing of the soul. And here's what I love about Jesus. Is sometimes we think we've got to do what I was talking about in the beginning, where you don't go to the priest until you're healed, and then he tells everybody you're healed, right? Some of us still treat God this way. I can't go to you, God. I can't experience you, God, until first I fix all my stuff. Once I fix all my stuff, once I fix all my garbage, once I fix all my junk, then I can come to you. You'll announce that I'm healed and great and wonderful, and you'll welcome me into society. That's not how Jesus operates, man. Jesus doesn't say, go and get cleaned, and then I'll proclaim you clean. He says, I'm your great high priest. You come to me, and I make you clean. You come to me, and I heal you. You come to me, and I transform you. You come to me, and I wipe the sin away. And so let me say this morning today, man, if you need to come to Jesus, don't wait because you think you're dirty. He loves you right now. Today, you come to him, and then he sets you free. You come to him and he moves on your life. You come to him and he heals you. Amen? So we're going to worship this morning. I'm going to pray. We're going to take communion. But don't forget that. This is who we are. We're men and women bold enough to come before the King of Kings with our request. We're brave enough to act. And then we're looking and anticipating, expecting him to move. And when he does, we worship his name. We worship him for his goodness. God, we love you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your kindness and your generosity. Thank you that the winds and waves still know your name because you are sovereign over all and you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all, God. Thank you that you still heal. If there's anybody in this room who needs healing of the soul or even healing of the body, we know that you can do it. Let them be bold enough to come and be brave enough to obey. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said,
this morning, church.